哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 hey, ay, ay, hey.
My name is Robert Ayatunga. I was born in the village of Chismarev, 1919, quite a few years ago. My Eskimo name is Tereluna. My father's dad, he named me. I was always the oldest boy. My roots are from Chismarev. John Abasik is my grandma's brother. I lived in Chismarev till around 20 years old, I guess, and then moved to Deering. When father died 2 years before, we thought to move to Deering. My mother wanted to go to Deering. My older sister was over there, Alice Carmen. And then we make it to Deering. Some people help us carry my brothers and sisters, two teams. Got brothers and sisters. Yes, there was another boy ahead of me, but she somehow got sick when she was a small infant baby. There was quite a few of them, girls too. We were survivors, the seven of us. I lose Alice and Emma. My father was a reindeer herder. His name is Frank Ayatunga. One of the first before the 1917 flu, sent lots to Chismarev. I guess a pretty good sized town was built, native town before the flu. It's only about 80 some miles from Chismarev to Wales. It took us maybe 2 days, you know. It was the right sail. We could go pretty fast. They used to hunt up there, I guess, a whaling. No aluminum boats those days. All native used skin boats, 25 to 30 feet long. They used them a lot in summertime, sailing and go, because you got to move around to catch all the berries in Serpentine area in Chismarev. Never hear of moose, you know, when we first moved, 56. A few years later, they start to see them out here in the country. But my grandfather used to tell me there was a lot of caribou in this area, the Swartland area. Do a lot of hunting in deer. But the foxskins were pretty good. You were a good trapper. They catch a lot of squirrels too. They eat the squirrels. When you cut them right out in the fields with the meat, ptarmigan. But a lot of reindeers, so when your dad is a reindeer herder. Springtime, there's no wolves hardly any those days. We eat a lot of seafood, ugrooks and seals, sure eyes hang around sometimes and ugruks are to, you know, sleep on during the day, you know, they used to most of the time catch them on eye. Wales ladies, they split the walrus about a little over inch thick, maybe. The ladies put the hide of a walrus in. They got a big frame. They use a rope and stretch it out and dry it. Sometimes they trade Shishmer people or buy some. And little Diamond people, they do the same thing. They get quite a few walruses out there. They stay there till they dry everything. Ugruk hide, you blubber up, you know, let the sun work on it on top of the snow. And we scrape from the skin, put them in a poke. They make those pokes we call smaller seals, ring seals. Ladies work on it without trying to make a whole seal. Turn it inside out, and they put air into it. Hang it up or so it won't, the wind won't carry it away, and tie it up and dry it. They use those for put away ugruk meat. Some of that ugruk meat, they cook it, cut them strips and hang them and cut them. They used to use kayaks too. I'm sure out springtime the ugruk sometimes sink, but the men know how to do it. Put a little hole in and blow on it to make the ugruk float. If you've got two ugruk, you can just tie them on the side. Sometimes they use the long paddle. When I go to Deering, the old man, Charlie Good Hope, wanna go with us. Go out to the ice. He says he's gonna take his kayak too. That won't be on the way. He said if it's on the way, we could tie a rope and drag it. When we get out there, I see three, four ugruks on top of the ice over there, and then all along that ice was small ice. So I go over there with that Charlie Gutholm's kayak to those three ugruks, three, four ugruks. I get close enough, I try to get out from this kayak. I go under close to those sleeping ugruks over there. First time I ever catch two. Shoot one and then one down. The other one stop. Maybe he go to sleep. That third one gets suspicious. He went in the water. We used to play a lot with the kayaks. So when the hunting is over, you take kayak all the time up the rivers, you know, where serpentine's got quite a few rivers, three, four rivers. Springtime, stand up on the kayak and accidentally sometimes you get wet. Those days in springtime in May, nice and warm, seems like where they camp, hardly any blue flies. Right now, everywhere you go, a lot of blue flies increase. And there's a lot of mosquitoes when you go inland. In the springtime, around July, the whole village used to go up there, get some of those sprigs that they always lose their wings. There's a few lakes up there in Serpentine. You could run around, and there's two or three calves chasing all the birds to shore. Alaskans are survivors of the kind of a hard time living. Those the early part of my life, you don't have everything. We survive. The war was just about Second World War. They say every young man got to register. So I register. They drafted me and I go to Nome here. first time I ever go to Nome, 42. It was not big as this, but everything was in it, though. There was an Air Force base out here where the FAA located now. After we get physical and sworn in here with Army base, ship us to Anchorage for basic training. Six of us and pilot. There's no Alaska Airlines in those days. There was all Alaskans together in the training company C-297th Infantry. That time, their tower was bombed out there in Aleutians. I thought we were going to go there, but tell us to get ready in Anchorage. And instead of that, we go in a train. We go to Seward. And then instead of staying Seward, there was a ship out in the dock there. When we got there, we go in a ship, but we didn't go towards Dutch Harbor, or they took us to Valdez. The Army don't tell you where you're going. We stayed in Valdez. There was no barracks. This is the first Army's, I guess, was there. We live in those big, green, heavy canvas there for a few months, and then the lumber start coming. There were some good carpenters in the Army. They started to build barracks. We don't take very much money, though, $21 a month. This little PX selling pops and cigarettes and candy bars, 5 cents a pack of cigarettes, candy bar, a few cents. Pop was 10 cents in the Army base there. We stayed in Valdez. They picked 16 of us. They let us go with a small boat. We landed in Whittier, started to build the dock. I was on this side where they drilling two mountains for railroad. When the railroad is finished, we go through the tunnel and go to Anchorage with a train. That's my Army life. It's a good life, show you a little bit of discipline. I put in 4 years in 1 week. I could have got out a little earlier, but I was on 90-day furlough in Deering. And I find my wife, Edith, stay there 10 years in Deering again. When I come back from the Army, go to Candle. Dog team over there, a few dogs practically walk to Candle. You don't care if you're going to get married, so might as well walk to Candle or do a little sled push it. I didn't hardly any of my own dogs yet. Just get out from Army a few months before. We didn't have our own house, Deering, but I stayed Edith, Mama, and her two brothers. Her father died too, you know, got sick from pneumonia, I guess. And then we decided to move to Nome, adopted 4 children. Edith died maybe 5, 6 years ago. He just was my good teacher. So I spent most of my time now, since I moved to Nome for almost 50 years. I'm enjoying it, being in Nome. I was working for a mining company when I first moved here. U.S. Melders and Refining. He used to hire a lot of natives. They had to saw the ground and put some cold water point. Get rich, gonna dig. 1960, mining company. Shut their dredges down because I guess too expensive to run. They used their own power plant. There were three of them running. One was supposed to run too that summer when we moved, but I guess tipped over with springtime. Back bridge number three. When I first go to work, I drive those points. They got their own clamp and a hammer that fits the pipe. But you got to check standing on points already down inside the ground. You check first thing in the morning, you check your area, you know. If you can't open them, sometimes pull them up a little bit, they open up. I guess the water starts seeping from the other point. The things go inside the pipe. You got to pull that point up and then open it up, but easy to put it back in the same hole. That's where I was working for maybe 2 years, and they put me on a dredge crew. I was a deckhand for 3-4 years and do a lot of oiling, fill the big grease guns down the basement of the dredge. I was on number one bridge. There's a winchman, bow oiler that take care of the front end of the dredge. All these cable ships that travel. There's a stern oiler. There's a ladder that carries all the dirt. I worked in number five, was biggest dredge in Alaska. This is the Gold Rush City, you know, Hardly anybody else, natives living. Maybe there's a few in Sinrock and maybe in Cape Nome too. Learning English, I was not very good English talker when I moved to Deering, but that village, they talked English, everybody, except their older parents, among themselves. Tried a school a long time ago, first or third grade, second grade. Teachers don't like to hear the Eskimo language speak in a schoolhouse. Right now, my teachers are my grandchildren. Try to talk. Finally, there's few went to around the 30s to White Mountain High School. There, all closed. No other places got except White Mountain. But I can't talk English good because my language is not too many villages have it. There's even Shishmaref used to talk. Whales all along the Northern Sound, we could talk to each other without no problem. Older people having trouble with the Central Lawrence Island dialect, kind of hard dialect. When I get married, Edith finally learned how to talk my language just by listening. My father from Wales, he didn't have very much schooling either, I guess, but he know how to write and translate. Mr. Darley used to talk English, and my father repeated to Eskimo, to everybody anyway, those days. 30s. Even the whales got a native pastor one time, Percy Apollo. We went to Wales that spring and can't understand his dialect, Wales people. But Papa used to translate. But he's a good English messenger. My religion is Lutheran. I'm a full-blooded Eskimo. Always believe in all the churches. We didn't have a church in Shishmaref for a long time, since 26, I guess. I was a small boy. Pastor Mr. Dolly, they called, he's the one that built the church, and he lived in Teller and lived all around Breivik. Hardly church goers at that time, 42. Finally, we got our own church over here built. That was a gift from Ladies of Lutherans. I was here when it dedicated. There are a lot of tenders in that dedication of our church. My older part of my stories I hear from my grandparents. There's used to be some shamans, Angatkok, the Eskimo way of life. They get into some kind of spirit, change their action. I guess they weren't really a good thing because Christianity hit Shishmaref. They don't have that action anymore. Change to Jesus, God. That's the only means of transportation those days. Duck team, they plowed the seal meat and blubber and tomcat. You could cook duck feet once in a while. Everywhere they go, ducks along, even in that skin boat. Sometimes they help you too when you hitch up the, on the beach with a long rope to the boat and they pull it from shore. That leader always be kind of special. Leader, you know, G and Ha. Well, make some kind of whistling and liven them up sometimes. Shishmaref, I was too young to make sled, but my father was making a wooden sled. They make their own sled, strong enough to carry two Ugruks in a sled sometimes, take them to shore where they're camping. I went hunting one time with Teddy Sockpick. We planning to go out to the ice. It stormy on us and we get to that island, the Sluts Island. There was the old South House area, you could tell. Somebody had been living out there too before. We sleeping there overnight. Morning there was ice all around the island. We had to stand by for a while and high water, I start to float away from the island. We continue on out there hunting. One time, three of us, Teddy, me, and Andrew Ching, we were boating, and we got maybe two, three Ugruks in the boat. Teddy, he's very careful captain, but one time below water, the ice, he hit it with a kind of punctured bow area. I didn't have a mucklets, but he had mucklets. He stepped on it, and then he looked around. Hey, maybe that ice over there, you go up the bow of the boat. I guess I the speed of the mortar just right. I thought he was going to nail a piece of plywood, because he carries some pieces. He make that boat by himself. And then instead of repair, he cut some blubber off from the ugru and covered that hole, you know, put little weights on top of a piece of ugru meat. We get home, not a leak yet. That's the way I guess they always do, those umiaks do. They puncture sometimes. Everything's out of change, you know. You got these outboard motor, go get away from Shishmaref. Father want to go down there right after that mail boat, the Good Hope wreck. We see it pass by, it's real rough, a lot of breakers out there, real shallow ocean front of Shishmaref. Couldn't go in, we never make it. The communication was pretty poor, though. There's no radio, nothing. The only thing we hear the wreck, Tommy Sitamana went to Wales and come back with a kind of a bad news. There were three girls, he was in that boat. They were in the hospital, medical treatment in Kotzebue. That's the only doctor area close, so they were coming home. Good Hope is like some people make it in Unalakleet. Our older sister was, Bertha was in that boat. My camp is 20 miles down past Cape Nome. When it's good weather, you could spend a good day or sleep overnight. When you're out in the country, you know, as long as you got the old shotgun, you could walk around for ducks. There used to be a lot of eider ducks up there in Coast Shishmaref and those emperor geese. When you finally go into the Berry area, Serpentine area, all kinds of ducks up there. Shishmaref used to have their own dance group. Only in winter time, they used to do a lot of Eskimo dancing. Same way with Wales. My father died down the camp about 20 miles west of Shishmaref, and he got real sick for 3-4 days, and then he finally died. Finally got a nurse. My mother died. She was 83 years old. Never moved away from Deering. She say maybe she had appendix. I got another brother, Daniel, go back to Shishmaref. Mom and Dad used to tell us, if someone needs help, don't just look at them, kind of old person. You could go over there and hold them and take them in. Our kids nowadays change, Western living. But when they get older, they understand. The way I treat my grandchildren is just, they see it. Love is there for every one of them, not one stronger. Or you gotta try to love each one of them. You can't ignore some and love the rest of them more. That's our tradition I learned from my grandpa and my grandma. They're the main leaders.
I'm
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.